to the Young'uns podcast. I think a good definition of insanity would be going on tour with the same two people for the last 20 days, non-stop, on tour with the same people for the last 20 days, spending all that time in each other's company, and then, after the gig, retiring to someone's house or a hotel, and often spending the night in the same bedroom as the other two, and sometimes even in the same bed as one of the other two. And then wake up in the morning, get in a van, which you can optimistically maybe describe as a three-seater van, but really is a two-and-a-half-seater van, so much so that when Michael needs to change the gears, he has to reach in between my legs. So there you are with the three of you squashed up in a van, and you spend hours on the road together. So basically, you spend every hour of every day, nearly, in each other's company. And you do that relentlessly for 20 days, and then you have a day off. And how do you choose to spend that time? You then take all that's happened over that last 20 days and you listen to it and you sift through it and you edit it together for a Young'uns podcast. I think that is a good definition of insanity there, but I did it for you. I know you haven't got much going on in your lives at the moment. I did it for you because I know that you need the Young'uns podcast in your life. Oh, God. And then we're back on the road again tomorrow and it all starts all over again. There's no release. Anyway, this week on the Young'uns podcast, Michael is insulted by an audience member in Morecambe. Meanwhile, in Leeds, I nearly kick an audience member. We delve once more into the mind of Sean Cooney as he imparts another couple of dreams that he's had while on tour, one of which involves Greg Russell and ice cream. And it's not that kind of dream. Sorry to disappoint you if you're thinking, oh, yes, this is going to be a good podcast. Mike, I just suspect you might light a few candles and maybe listen to that part of the podcast. No, it's not going to be like that. And at the Grove Folk Club in Leeds, it was a very odd night. I think we got more interruptions and heckles that night than we've probably done on all the gigs put together on the tour that we've done so far, in all the 20 dates that we've done. I mean, you know, it got to the stage where we could barely finish a... And with hilarious jokes like that, it can only be the Young'uns podcast, which this week features Alan Carr. Or does it? All will be revealed. And we'll dedicate this week's Young'uns podcast to our good friend Ken Stocks, who died a few weeks ago, and we went to his funeral, and we'll be having a little bit of a chat about his funeral. But as happens typically in when we're on stage, we start off with a nice sincere moment, and then for some reason it all sort of goes a little bit awry and goes a little bit flippant. But I mean, Ken would have appreciated that. That's the kind of man he was. He was the life and soul and orchestrator of many parties. He was the captain of the ship, the Grand Turk, which played host to, well, when we did the Whitby Festival, it was just, you know, everyone was invited back onto that ship for nights of debauchery. And I just said nights of debauchery in the most civilised manner ever, for nights of debauchery. And we shall certainly miss those nights of debauchery, Ken. Nights of debauchery there. Yeah, I don't know how debauched you think the nights might have been now. When I said it in that kind of very civilised voice, but believe me, they were certainly debauched. I never really hear anyone use the word debauched, but I'm sure that is the, what, that is a word, but, well, maybe isn't. But if it isn't, it should be a word. Anyway, we're going to dedicate this week's podcast to Ken Stocks and to anyone in his family who may be listening. But we'll be chatting more about that throughout the podcast. But right now, it's time to find out why Michael is so insulted as we head to Morecambe.
I'm going to bring something up with a member of the audience. Got the worst insult at the break.
The worst insult I ever got was when someone mistook me for you, Michael.
So this lady, I won't name names, I don't know her name.
Excellent, there we are. Wendy! Hang on, how do you know who it is? You might have been insulted more than once, you know.
Came up to me at the break and she said, you look like a respectable cardiganed.
No, she did not say respectable. She said bespectacled. There's a difference, my girl. Hey, don't get ideas above your station here. Bespectacled, she said.
Is that right? That's what you said, isn't it, Wendy?
Exactly.
Not respectable.
No. Exactly. Right. Continue, Michael.
She said I look like a bespectacled.
Did she? Look, I've never heard of that animal before. You should have done this one. It's a shame you didn't do this earlier, Wendy. We could have had this in the acceptance speech.
So, what did she say?
Look like, as she said, I look like a bespectacled cardigan chatty man.
Is it Alan Carr?
Can you do an Alan Carr impression of my girl?
Alan Carr.
No, David, I can't actually.
Oh, he's commentating now.
Then
she turned to me, though, which I think is worse, because then she said, has anyone ever paid you a compliment?
Lovely woman.
And I was like, yeah, I think it was the summer of 1989. I was at school, and I put my Lego bricks away neatly.
So I put a lovely message on Facebook the other day after we won the award. It simply says
Oh yes,
real. We haven't mentioned that yet.
You were a sweepstake for the first mention.
Oh right.
Someone paid us a compliment on Facebook. They said, "Congratulations, we're over the moon for you both."
See, not even he could pay you a compliment.
Well, I think they meant that us two, Sean. They had tagged Alan Carr in there.
But anyway.
I mean, I could have said that you look like Joe Brand, but I didn't.
Anyway. you've worn her shoes, excellent. Was she bespectacled as well?
And he's bespectacled. We'll see if we can say it at the end of the year.
Anyway. Do we just go straight in?
I said go straight in, we've just talked for about 10 minutes.
Straight after Jack Ironside, we'll go straight in, yeah.
Yeah, alright. You didn't say anything about that last song, but I think a lot of people know, don't they? If you want to know what that song was all about, buy the CD. It's on the sleeve notes.
I think they've forgotten that there ever was a song.
Right.
But we're dedicated to our good friends, Phil and Jessica.
They're applauding themselves. Give them a round of applause. Come on, put some effort in
Phil's also our agent as well, and but we sang it at their wedding.
He was a bit disappointed because he thought he was representing Alan Carr and two other people, didn't he? He got us all these gigs and everything, and it turned out it was Michael.
But we...
Right.
We've been singing songs together for 10 years. I'm sure we'd have sang twice as many songs if we didn't talk so much.
Should we make a pledge to do that from now on, then? No more talking anymore, right. But you don't think we've got best group for any of the songs that you wrote, do you, Mr. Cooney? Unbelievable.
I'm trying to say that, Phil and Jessica, we sang it at their wedding last year, and so we'll revisit that lovely day and we'll sing it for you now. Thank you.
We sang it as they walked down the aisle, although it was a little bit... What? No, that was another song. All right, okay, but it doesn't matter. The ins and outs don't really matter. You can have it in your book, your way, and I'll have it in my book, that your way. Right, okay, never mind, right, okay. Can you have a word with the filth? Do you? Otherwise, I might have to consult a different agency. Unbelievable. There's a hilarious joke there in the making, Jess. Unbelievable. I'll have a word with her.
Oh, come on, let's have the joke.
No. Don't you go.
Come on, David.
Seriously, the way you're going, Jess, will be performing at Phil's next wedding. Right, okay. I'll do now. It was a nice moment, wasn't it? We were doing that. Oh, we just. Sorry, Jess.
Just go and stand in the corner with the other breastfeeders.
Oh, she's not doing that again, is she? Phil, please.
It's the UK, I want to hear me, sorry.
Right.
Right, loving it all.
Yes, one, two, three. That was very poignant.
Phil and Jess's wedding, we had a lovely time. It was in Stonehaven. No, it wasn't in Stonehaven. That's in Scotland. It was in Stornthwaite.
Are you correct him, Jess?
Yeah.
Don't let I know.
No, we had a great time. But because Stornthwaite's in the middle of Borrowdale, gorgeous. We were staying in the youth hostel at Rosthwaite down the road, and it was like full of, like, you know, ramblers and hikers and mountain bikes, and we rolled in our suits and ties. Got some fun looks, and the girl who checked us into the room, we said, "Oh, can you give us a key to get in?" She said, "Oh, well, we shut the doors at 10:30, you know." I said, "Well, we're going to a wedding, we're probably going to be out later than that." She said, "Oh, I could give you the code for the back door." I said, "Oh, if you please could, that would be lovely, really appreciate it." She said, "Oh, well, I'm only going to give it to one of you." So I said, all right then, I'll go with this." So she took me around the back, whispered in my ear, she said, "The code is 1966. She said, "You better write it down." I said, "Well, I'm going to remember that, aren't I?" And she said, "That's funny, everyone says that. I don't know why."
So now you all know. So if you ever fancy checking yourselves into a youth hostel. You may say I'm a dreamer. You're a dreamer. But I'm not. No, you're quite right, John. You're not the only one. Because Sean Cooney is also a dreamer. As regular Young Uns podcast listeners will be able to attest, he often imparts his dreams, especially his fork-related dreams, to us on the Young Uns podcast. Because we spend so many nights together, as I say, in the same room or sometimes in the same bed, then we often wake up and Sean will impart his dreams to me. Let's go to Mr. Sean Cooney. Let's delve into his mind once more. Let's find out what this Greg Russell ice cream dream's all about. And also, Sean's had a dream about Michael Hughes as well.
Mr. Cooney!
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And how was your sleep?
Oh, it was wonderful. I had some great dreams, dear me. I dreamt that Gregory Russell, our good friend from Greg and Kieran, award-winning duo, yeah.
Yeah, no, not award-winning. Well, they are award-winning, yeah, but not the awards in the past, yeah. Best. The best category. Imagine winning that. Hey, continue.
There you go. Yes, I had a dream, and Greg was starring in an Iceland advert. He was sort of lying on a bed holding an iPod, which had a picture of ice cream on it, and he had sort of his guitar was sort of by his neck for some reason, but he could still play it, and he was singing. What was he singing? Oh, I remembered it when
was
I woke
up. Was he singing
up.
Something from Frozen?
No. Oh yes, no. He was singing. If you like ice cream, dum dum dum. Who likes ice cream?
Yes, dun, dun, dun.
Where can you get ice cream? Dun, dun, dun. You can get it from Iceland. Something like that. I remember the tune when I woke up.
So you should write it down immediately. Yeah. Immediately, inspiration could call here.
Yes, well, I had a great dream the other night, though. Did I tell Michael about my dream about the Folk Awards?
Two dreams, the price of one, this is.
We were, the dream was, we were coming back from a gig, we were drunk, Michael was driving, and he was drunk as well, and I was slumped in the back seat.
Michael was drunk and driving.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah, it was a naughty dream, it was, and anyway, so I had police siren appeared, and I went, "Oh, no, Dave, wake up, and I sort of got set up straight, and I said, "Michael, what are you doing, Michael?" The police got in, Michael's facing the wrong way in the driver's seat, he's got his legs wrapped round the back of the seat. "Don't worry, Mr. Cooney." The police came to the window, knocked on the window. Michael went, "Hello, my friend." "Excuse me, sir. Have you been drinking? Where have you been?" We've been into town to get a bottle of water. Yes. Said, "You do realise, sir, you're facing the wrong way in the driver's seat." "Am I, my friend?" "You're in big trouble, fellas. I'm going to have to take you in." "Hang on a minute, what's that? Is that a BBC Best Group Folk Award?" "Yes, my friend. Oh, it's the Young Uns. Sorry, lads, I didn't realise. Have a good night." Oh, it was hilarious.
Any dreams, Michael?
I did, but yeah, it was a bit odd.
I was just hoping for a no, to be honest, but it's okay. Over to Michael Hughes.
No, because I can't remember what it was.
Oh, excellent. So essentially a no there from Michael Hughes.
Well, no,
still.
You said to me, "Have I had any good dreams?" I'm saying, I had one last night, and I don't normally remember them, but last night was a really good one.
Well, then what was it?
I can't remember. It was something about an aircraft.
Well, then you don't remember it, do you?
It was something about an aircraft carrier, but I can't remember what it was.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Michael Hughes.
Back to Morecambe we head now.
Today we went to a lovely funeral. I say that in the nicest possible way because, you know, some funerals can just really uplift you and really sort of be what everything a funeral's supposed to be, remembering someone who with love and affection and smiles. And our friend who was cremated today was Captain Ken Stocks, who was a great sailor, and for many years he was like the skipper of the Grand Turk, which was berthed at Whitby. And we had some fantastic times singing with him at Whitby and Great Yarmouth and lots of great maritime festivals. But he insisted, the family insisted, that there should be no black worn today, all bright colours. And unfortunately, we got stuck in traffic, so we missed the beginning. We got there 5 minutes into it.
And they're always the best bits of funerals, I find, you know. They put out the big guns, don't they, for the first 5 minutes.
No line cannot be crossed. Anyway, and then we were right in the back. We couldn't get in. It was so busy. And I was looking at who I thought was the priest or the minister. And I thought, I recognise him. And it was John Griffiths, who was one of Ken's best mates. And so he did the service, basically. And you know, you go to some funerals and it's a minister or a priest and it's all really nice, but you can tell that they've not met the person and it seems a bit sort of...
Yeah, when it's kind of like... John Smythe was a lovely, respectable man. John Smith. What? He's called John Smith. Oh, sorry. You know, that kind of thing, where they read the name from a piece of paper and get it completely wrong. So in the middle of this service, a great friend of ours who sang with Johnny Collins, and some of you may know, Graham Knights, got up and did a sea shanty. Before he did it, he said, I'll do this for Ken. But Ken knew he was dying because he had cancer, and he said, and he spoke to me on the phone just a month ago, and he said, and he asked me to do this. And then he walked up to the coffin and started beating the coffin like this. We thought, what is he doing? You know, they've only just let him out of prison. I mean, it was a dodgy thing letting him do this funeral in the first place. He's doing this, and he said, just to make sure I'm dead, you know, with the NHS, you know. Anyway.
On the folks here, we've been to a lot of funerals.
We have, that's the one thing, yeah, we went to more funerals, I think, before we even went to our first stag do, and that is the problem with being on the folk scene, isn't it, really? But anyway.
Well, it started out as a lovely tribute, didn't it? let's turn the tribute by singing in the sea.
Alright. Yeah,
let's have a good song for Ken. Very
dancing. I'm on thought for the day next week.
Alright.
Way down south where the cocks do crow, and we'll roll the wood pie.
Like to book us for your private party or to speak at your friend's funeral, then you're always here, you know. Alan Carter of the funeral, absolutely. You're a friend of his.
We are going to be back in Cumbria in November because we're having a singing weekend. We've started doing these singing weekends where we take over a youth hostel.
We do warn them in advance, we don't just turn up.
And we have our...
We don't want to be put this coffin in here, Peter. I don't know why, I always, every time I do a little sort of jocular line, I then do like this cavalry kind of... Okay!
That's basically the reason why we have two...
That's what we have piano. Yeah, that's what we have piano, yeah. I said to him, it'll cost you.
There's a lot of nursing homes.
Oh, look at it. Anyway, if you want more information about our Cumbrian singing weekend, which is in Eskdale, Youth Hostel, in that beautiful part of the lakes, Eskdale, it's at the end of November. Basically, for your weekend ticket, you get your beds, you get all your food.
Just the one bed, I'm afraid. We're doing this the younger's way. All right.
Oh, terrible. And
you have to pay a little bit extra if you want to stay next to Anna.
So we've only got another 30 days to this.
You'll be talking at my funeral, I think, if you would.
Okay, so we're going to... I'm going to have to sing a miserable song now. Right, okay. It's a lovely love song set on the banks of the River Tees by, again, Graham Miles, that wonderful songwriter who we lost a couple of years ago. It's called Waiting for the Ferry. If you'd like to sing the chorus with us, it's the Tees, the chilly, slow black Tees laps gentle round the jetty, hand in hand with Mary Ann, waiting for the ferry.
I knew you were going to do that.
You were just saying
so many people.
Hands in hands with Mary Ann.
So, the Grove in Leeds we head to now. Firstly, we were a little bit worried because normally all the other gigs, they sell tickets in advance. You know, if you do an art centre or most folk clubs or whatever, they will sell tickets in advance, so you'll know how many tickets are sold. But this folk club basically just said, oh no, people just turn up at the door. And, you know, we were worried that people would be turned away. As you'll hear on the podcast, indeed they were. Which kind of led for a bit of an awkward atmosphere. People were coming to the door, people were being turned away. Also, apparently the room was the fullest than it's ever been. So it was quite an uncomfortable atmosphere. It was really hot. You know, people were like crammed in. People kept trying to come in through the door, which obviously was then knocking people in the back and stuff. We were constantly being interrupted by the door opening. People's like taking glasses back to the bar. The barmaids coming in to collect glasses. And then, of course, when people kept coming in, people would like shuffle around and let people in. Someone would say, excuse me. Someone would say, sorry. So we were, you know, we were fine with it. You know, we knew it was a busy night and, you know, it was really full and, you know, we just thought we'd make the best of it. But the MC and the usual woman who MCs, Brenda, who wasn't MCing on that particular night because she had a sore throat, an irony which we will come to later, but they kept on saying, please, can we have some respect for the artists? People, can you keep your voices down? And we were, you know, what was weird is the noise wasn't really getting to us too much. We were sort of riding the noise, people were enjoying it, but because we were in the middle of telling a story or an anecdote or something or introducing the next song, because then she kept interrupting and going, please, can we have some respect? That meant that that was louder than anything else. So then we had, you know, that actually had to stop the story. We couldn't have talked over the top of that. So anecdotes were just interrupted so much. It was so weird. And we had to obviously just stop. And then she's like, sorry, lads, continue. All right, okay. The irony being, as I say, she had a sore throat, this Brenda, which is why she wasn't doing the MCing. But as you're about to hear, she did most of the interrupting. She did most of the talking. She was the one who not only interrupted to tell everybody else to be quiet, but then started interrupting with heckles of her own. So as if it wasn't bad enough having, like, loads of people talking and, you know, trying to fight above the actual noise, because there was no microphones or everything, you know, then she would start heckling us. So, and I think then that encouraged everybody else to start having a go as well. Anyway, so our final clip comes from the Grove Folk Club in Leeds, which wins the award for the most interruptions and heckles of a night that we've done so far, I think.
So enough of, you know, we didn't get into folk singing. We didn't get into folk singing to do songs of social justice and that kind of thing. We wanted to sing songs about stealing sheep. So it's about time we had one of those songs. This is the Brisk Lads. You can all join in with this.
Jamie's going to play the piano for this one. And,
shut the door, please.
Hang on. Dave, it's definitely house full.
Don't let any more in.
Kick some out.
Unless there's someone wanting to leave. I mean, if you enjoyed it so far, it's a friendly club.
Apologies for the beginning of it. Was I a bit out of tune? I've come back from the holidays with a red head and an ear infection. That's why I was going like that.
I'm not sure why the red head made a difference to the tune.
Can we be quicker the back and get organised, please? Glasses, hand back some glasses if
you're
after glasses. Sorry, Jeff.
It's alright,
so it's it's difficult. We appreciate you all crammed in like we did.
And to be honest, you know, the longer the pause between the songs, the better for us. We've got a big tour, you know what I mean? So if we can sing a few less songs. And... ah, excellent. He's a nice lively one. Clink to the rhythm, please.
That was, we.
Tell David not to kiss.
That was.
Tell what, sorry?
You've got a young lady now that you're right.
Have I kicked you? I nearly kicked you, I did kick you.
No, it's about spawning you.
All right. £5 for a kick. There you go. All right. Anyway.
So you've just been told that you've not kicked a woman?
Yes.
She had a dog.
She knows my reputation, you see. Looting all over again. Right. I was very drunk and emotional. What can I say? Right.
Oh, dear God.
You'll be telling everyone about the goat in the second half, do you, dear? Right. Right. Next, the can-can.
We don't want to see your knickers.
Well, there we go. Give us a fifth booking and a couple of hundred quid extra and you will.
Oh,
this is a great mic.
I wish you stayed at home now.
Yeah. Shawnee came through to collect glasses. You got
Can I just remind everybody, sorry to go all teacher on you, but can I just remind you to show respect to the act, please, and when there's people on or getting ready to be on, if you can just pipe down a little bit. And for the MC. Right, just keep it respectful, thank you.
My goodness, we are going up in the world, we deserve respect now. Right.
Talk a bit!
Por trove matos a me! This next one is on our new album, Another Man's Ground. And as I was typing it into that famous search engine the other day, you know, it sort of computers like predict what you're looking for. And it came up as Another Man's Groin.
Based on what searches previous, I wonder.
So maybe that's like the blue X-rated version.
X-rated version, yeah.
Yeah. Thomas Paine's controversial views on religion, i.e. that there was no point in it, didn't go down well with Americans, and they sort of, he fell out of favour. And when he died, only seven people went to his funeral.
Oh, and, my God. Probably because it was religious.
Yeah.
Keep going, Sean.
Just
and a couple of years later, another English radical, William Cobbett, went to America and he dug up the bones of Thomas Paine and carried them back to Britain in hope that they'd inspire revolution. Of course, they never did. And no one knows what ever happened to them.
Oh.
And so...
somebody's dog, probably.
Yeah. we've got, like, a cacophony of, like, cynicism and wonder. That's the best thing I've ever heard. Oh, he's putting him to the dog. It's like North meets South down in the village.
Aren't most of the comments coming from the person who told everyone to respect the band? What you meant was, stop talking so that I can talk, I think.
Anyway,
on,
so
I tell you what, I'm recording all the heckles, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to transcribe them. And then I'll use them as my own for the next gig.
So there we are. Right. So the song's called.
You've got another gig.
Hey, I tell you what. Hey, Davey, give her a kick. Come on. Come on. It's a shame this stage is too small for four of us, but.
Oh, dear.
You'll have to start paying yourself. Contribution.
But it's a song we're really proud to sing. It's another song about our hometown, one of our songs. And it's called The Battle of Stockton.
Where's Stockton?
It's next to Middlesbrough, in the North East. Yes, Teesside, yeah. About 30 miles south of Newcastle. Any more?
Yeah, if there's anything that people don't understand, you know, feel free to fire up.
No, I'm talking about my computer and another man's groin and all that. But about a year ago, we were on this big tour and we were going out to Somerset. And we'd been asked to send like a press release to one of the papers down there. We were going to do an article about it. And because we were on this big tour, I thought I'd better get myself a new phone, one that actually works. Because I didn't have the computer, I was typing this press release up and I didn't realise the phone... You know, I know what predictive texting is, but I didn't realise that. I thought that I could have the final decision on what the word would be. But it wasn't the case with this smug one. And that's why in the Somerset Gazette or whatever, it said that in 1933, 100 of Oswald Mosley's blacksmiths were chasing me. So, that's completely true.
Full bravery, hammer and tongs.
We've never been back to Somerset since, like, have we?
What do you reckon?
There are many reasons for that.
But... saw you there.
Do you know where Somerset is, sir? I made that whole thing up for you. There was no I don't even have a phone. Do you know Greg Russell and Kieran Elgar?
They've
won the Folk Awards a couple of times and they're great pals of ours. I think that they're on at the club, aren't they, later in the year?
Yeah. And third time.
Yeah.
And nearly as many years.
Just wanted a yes, but
you want to get your spreadsheet out and start telling the room to go on. The 30th
anyway.
October was the 30th. It was a lovely autumnal day.
Anyway, they came all over. Greg,
remember, I had lamb tikka for tea.
Anyway, Greg lives in Exeter, and they've come all the way up to Hartlepool to do one of our mates' birthday parties with us. And Greg had been on the train for about 10 hours or something, all the way from Exeter, and he was starving. And all he wanted was a bag of chips. And we went past our local chippy in Hartlepool. He was like, "Oh, this is brilliant."
And I said, "Hartlepool, I know that."
Yeah, brilliant.
I always find an anecdote better with 20 introductions.
Anyway, as we got to the chippy, it had a massive UKIP poster on it. So we said, "Oh, we're not going in there." Poor Greg was starting. He's like, "It's only chips, it's only chips." He's like, "No." So,
if it's UKIP, it's not UCHIP.
Yeah. So the next song, by request, we're gonna do this song about us called "The Long Way Home." And it's a love song. We never really sing it, partly because it's about me. We're all embarrassed about it.
This is my song to Sean, so you know. For the groin indeed, yes. I don't know what rhymes with groin, it's quite difficult, but I'm sure you'll have 50 things to suggest. You want a boing, maybe it'll sound like a kangaroo mix. Anyway, there you go. There's something. If you're not enjoying the song, try and think of a rhyme for groin. There you are. Suggestions, please. If someone comes up with 10, we'll give them a free CD. There you go.
Boing, boing.
Just making words, wouldn't you? Boing, boing, boing. We don't accept Latin suggestions. That would be English, right? There we are, right. Just to hear it.
We hope you've been comfortable and comfortable-ish. We really appreciate you coming in and seeing us tonight. It's been lovely. Thanks to Brenda and everyone at the club.
Is Brenda here tonight?
You sure? It's Brad in charge.
We're gonna speak up.
He
didn't hear me in the back. I said B cup. I am blind, so I'm not sure. Is that right, Robert? Oh dear. What are we doing? Right. We've got another 27 days of this. And what's worse is Brenda's just volunteered to do the driving for us.
And it's all about John Ball, the man, the priest, the rebel priest who inspired the peasants' revolt. And if you're wondering why we're doing all these political songs tonight, we've been told when we go down the Folk Awards next week, because it's election time, we can't mention anything to politics at all. So that's why we're getting out all the UKIP stories when we can.
Sing it as your party piece.
Yeah.
Ah, very good.
Party piece. I got the joke.
I feel
all right. I just think a nicer joke. Right.
Are we ready?
That was a subliminal political message there.
Oh, well, thank you very much for listening. We're going to be back next week. I don't see why not. We've got loads of material that we've got from touring, and I've got a day off again on Thursday, so I might as well spend that time sifting through more clips of myself and the other two. Granted, it's impairing my mental health severely, but, as I say, I'll do this for you. I know you need it. Our BBC Radio 4 documentary was aired last week. So if you want to hear that, it's called Folk of the Pennines. We're on episode 2, chatting with Mark Radcliffe in a pub, and we sing a song as well. We sing Jack Ironside. So if you want to hear that, go to the BBC iPlayer, Folk of the Pennines, episode 2, and you can hear that. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. We'll be back next week. Till then, from me, David Eagle, goodbye.